ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా,
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, I am from Prashanthi Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. Today is December 31st, a time when we look forward to a beautiful chapter opening up in our lives. A time when we think about how to make our lives much better than what it has been all these years. As a child, I used to always think, what is new about the new year? The sun shines the same way, the wind blows the same way, the rivers flow the same way. Is anything new happening around? As a little one, I used to always wonder, is this something that we have created or is it something that is happening in nature? And with time you realize, once you come to Bhagavan and read his discourses, you listen to him, then you know that how every moment is new, every second is new, and how no good things would ever be postponed, and how every time we take a decision to do something good, to walk on the path that will take us to goodness, that is the landmark moment of our life. And every time we rise up after falling is a moment of celebration. And when you look at the lives of so many people in Prashanthi Nilayam, you look at the lives of people who have lived in this hamlet for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, people who have given all their youth, their energy, their resources, their everything, serving the Lord with utmost commitment, dedication. You are filled with inspiration, you are filled with that zeal. Yes, I too can sanctify my life. I too can do something that will bring a smile on his face. I too can lead a life that will be that very few have chosen to do. I too can lead a life where God with joy says, "Dear one, I am proud of you." And as I look at so many souls who are serving in Prashanthi Nilayam, this is the thought that often grips me. Devotees who made Bhagavan and his work the very breath of their lives. In this series, Beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam, I have been sharing with you stories of such servitors of Bhagavan. You don't have to read the lives of sages and saints. You don't have to really go back to the Puranas to be inspired by the lives of the great ones. You only have to look around. Just knock on every other door of Prashanthi Nilayam and you will find a story that will stun you. The ground floor of South Prashanthi lives Surya Kantamma Garu. Miss పి సూర్యకాంతమ్మ హెస్ సర్వ్డ్ భగవాన్ ఫర్ 50 ఇయర్స్ అండ్ మోర్. షీఈస్ క్లోజ్ టు 85 నౌ. బట్ హర్ జీల్ టు సర్వ్ ఈవెన్ అట్ దిస్ ఏజ్, హౌ హర్ ఐస్ జస్ట్ టియర్ అప్ వెన్ షీ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ భగవాన్, హౌ షీ సో హ్యాపీ వెన్ షీ సీస్ యంగ్స్టర్స్ లీడింగ్ ఎ లైఫ్ ఆఫ్ సెల్ఫ్లెస్నెస్ అండ్ సాక్రిఫైస్. యూ లుక్ ఎట్ హర్, యూ స్పెండ్ ఫ్యూ మినిట్స్ విత్ హర్ అండ్ యూ నో హౌ భగవాన్ క్రియేటెడ్ ప్రశాంతి నిలయం. It is because of relentless sacrifice, relentless service, unquestionable faith, unceasing pure devotion that all these devotees became so dear to the Lord and built this heaven that is Prashanti Nilayam. And that's why I always feel every brick of Prashanti speaks, every twig of Prashanti has a tale to share. Every snail, every squirrel, every ant of Prashanti is telling us a story. If only we tune ourselves to these tales, every day we will listen to Bhagwan speaking to us, giving messages that will just thrill our being and fill it with so much energy to make every second of our lives a silent celebration of His love. In the previous episodes, I told you about how Mrs. Suryakantamma Garu came to Prashanti Nilayam, how she had her first darshan. I told you about the revelation she had about how Bhagwan is none other than her Panduranga that she used to worship in Jalakalapudi, that sacred shrine in Andhra Pradesh. How Bhagwan confirmed in her about all the good acts that she had done till then. How Bhagwan fulfilled her wish of having a Japmala. And how with time that Japmala vanished and Bhagwan later gave her a Ekamukhi Rudraksha, one beaded Rudraksha, and Swami now told her, no need for you to do Japa, now you have to do meditation. And how she started on her path of meditation. And how when she was wondering about where did that Japmala go, and Swami said, anything that I give, that comes back to me, don't worry. And how on every Thursday she does Abhishekam to this Rudraksha, and she has this water, this holy water. And that is how her sadhana goes on in Prashanti Nilayam. And Kantamma Garu, in 1974, when she came to Prashanti Nilayam, that is when Bhagwan told her to formally look after the South Indian canteen, the woman's side of it. In fact, right from the 60s when she came to Bhagwan, Swami would always tell her to volunteer in the South Indian canteen. So she would come every 2-3 months for every festival. She would be in Prashant Nilayam and she would look after the works in the South Indian canteen. But in 1974, before Bhagwan's 50th birthday, which happened in 1975, Bhagwan told her to formally take charge of the South Indian canteen. And from then on, she took this up with all sincerity. On one occasion, she had to go to her village because there was a little land to be bought, and she told Mr. Kutumrao, who was then the secretary of the ashram, if she can get Swami's permission to go to the village. Swami blessed her and Swami said, okay, you go and come. And Swami gave her namaskar. But interestingly, as Bhagwan was blessing her, Swami told her, you go, you get your daughter-in-law and come. And that was something very unusual, and that was not something that she was expecting. Her son was in the college still. He was still doing his graduation. And Swami says, go, you get your daughter-in-law and come. As I told you, Suryakantamma garu lost her husband very, very early, just immediately after marriage, and she brought up this son all by herself. Her mother, Kantamma garu's mother, used to tell Kantamma garu that maybe we should look for alliances for your son, and somehow she never took that very seriously. And Kantamma garu always used to feel that Swami should do it. And Swami in fact told her, I will do. And she always felt that the boy needs to study, he needs to complete his graduation, and he needs to do his post-graduation. In fact, that's what had happened. The boy had joined for his post-graduation now in the Pant Nagar University in Bihar. And even though Bhagwan said that you get your daughter-in-law and come, somehow Kantamma garu did not take that very seriously. Her priority was to complete that registration work of that land and come back to Prashant Nilayam. Dasara celebration was around the corner, and she came. And interestingly, when she was in the village, her son also came, because it was a time when there was a revolution happening, the JP movement, as it is called in Indian history, the Jayaprakash Narayan movement. And because of that, there was closure of the colleges. And her son had come to the village. And again, almost coincidentally, there was a father of a girl who came and approached Kantamma garu and said that if they would like to welcome their daughter into their home. And Kantamma garu said, no, Swami will do everything, I'm not going to take this up at all. And the girl also was still studying. But the father of that girl, he was very persistent. So he approached Kantamma garu's uncle, her father's brother. And since they were distant relatives and known people, uncle was in favor of it. And they kept telling the uncle that you should come and see the girl. And Kantamma garu was all the time saying, no, no, I will not go. This is not something that I want to do. Swami will do everything. In fact, the bride's father was so keen that he sent car and he almost pleaded with the uncle and Kantamma garu to come and see the girl. And Kantamma garu kept saying that, you know, this decision Bhagwan has to take, only then I will proceed. I am not going to say anything at this point in time. And they were asking if the son also can come, because the son is anyway here at home. And Kantamma garu said, no, 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 he is not going to come. All our decisions will be taken by Bhagwan. So that was her only response to everything that was told. And at one point in time they said, so even if you like it, if Bhagwan says no, will you not go ahead? And they said, yes. She said, yes, 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 of course. If Bhagwan says no, I have nothing to do with it. So they go and they see the girl and they come back. And she immediately comes back because the birthday celebrations were close by. And when she was in Prashantinilayam, Bhagwan came to her one day on the lady's side during darshan, and from far, Swami told her, go to the village, finish the marriage and come to Bangalore. This was after the birthday celebrations. And Swami did not give her a chance to actually converse much. From far itself, Swami looked at her. Swami said, you go to your village, you finish the marriage of your son, and then you come to Bangalore. And Swami just told that and walked away. And so Kantamma garu did not have an opportunity to have any conversation, any dialogue, any clarification from Bhagwan. And since Bhagwan was so clear that he should finish the marriage, and so that's when it struck her that maybe this is all ordained by Bhagwan, you know, the bride, family coming and they themselves approaching. So she became a little more favorable towards what was happening. And so she went back to the village and now they started looking for the auspicious time, the muhurtam for the marriage. And when that was done, so she came back to Vrindavan because she wanted to give that to Bhagwan and take Bhagwan's permission. 10 days were left for the muhurtam, for the sacred date and the time. The pandit said, you cannot postpone this again. It will be very difficult to get a sacred date. And so, Surya Kantamma garu and her cousin brother, they came to Bangalore. And as they were in the darshan, Swami came towards them and they gave that letter. And the moment Bhagwan accepted that letter, Swami immediately said, you finish the marriage and come. Go finish the marriage. Swami didn't even see the letter, but Swami just said, you finish the marriage and come. I will bless you. And Swami in fact mentioned the date, you come on this date. And Professor Kasturi, who was also there with Bhagwan and who was a witness to Bhagwan giving this instruction to Kantamma garu, he also advised later on that, you know, Bhagwan is telling you so clearly that you should finish the marriage, so there is nothing to think about it. You please go and finish the ceremony. And before the Kantamma garu could leave Vrindavan, now there was a problem, because in that letter that they gave Bhagwan, there was that sacred muhurtam paper, that sacred paper where the muhurtam was written that they had given to Bhagwan, and they wanted that back that was needed for the marriage, and Bhagwan had taken it. Now how can you get it from Bhagwan? So they told Professor Kasturi, so this is the thing, you know, we gave it to Bhagwan, but we need that for the marriage. What do we do? And there was 1 hour left for the train, the Vrindavan Express, because they have to immediately leave, because there are a lot of arrangements to be done there. And those days also trains were not daily trains. And so you have 1 hour left and the letter has gone to Bhagwan and that document is needed for the marriage. And so they didn't know what to do. And they told Professor Kasturi, this is our problem. And Professor Kasturi went inside. And the moment he went inside, Swami just put his hand into that bunch and just removed one letter, and it was exactly that letter, exactly that same Muhurtam paper that was there. Swami just took that and Swami gave it to Professor Kasturi, and Swami told, you give it to them. And when they got that paper, they had just less than an hour to catch the train. And from in those days, you know, you need vehicle conveyance to go from Vrindavan, from the white field to the railway station. And they didn't know how they were going to do. And Professor Kasturi said, my son has just come and he's going to leave. He's going to leave. I will ask him to drop you in the city. So don't worry. And so they got into the car of Professor Kasturi's son and they reached the railway station. And when they went to the ticket counter, there were only two tickets left. Just two tickets left for Kantamma Garu and her cousin brother. And they just boarded the train and the train left. And that is how Bhagwan arranges things. Bhagwan had clearly told them, December 17th, there was the marriage Muhurtam. Swami told you, come on December 24th, 1974, that is. Come on December 24th. And so Kantamma Garu went back and she performed the marriage. And in the marriage, of course, they would feel Swami's presence so much at every juncture. And everything happened very smoothly. The function, the ceremonies. And after the marriage was over, the next day they did Satyanarayana Vratam, you know, the puja of Lord Satyanarayana, an auspicious ceremony to conclude the marriage ceremonies. And they finished that. And 22nd December, they started from there. 23rd, they were in Bangalore. Bhagwan had told them that he will see them on 24th. So when Bhagwan saw them on 23rd, Swami said, okay, tomorrow I will speak to you. And on 24th morning, Bhagwan called them to the interview room, the new couple. And we know how Bhagwan sometimes can just put you in a spot. He can be so mischievous. So Swami, when Swami looked at them on 24th, Swami started asking all unusual questions. Oh, when did the marriage happen? Oh, when did you all come? Oh, the marriage happened. As if he knows nothing, as if the whole thing was done without any concurrence with him. You know, that's how Bhagwan plays sometimes. And then Bhagwan took them inside and they said, Swami, whatever you have commanded, Swami, we did that. And Swami called them inside. And now Swami said, see, that marriage was only for the satisfaction of the relatives and the in-laws and all. Now I will do the proper marriage. This is the real marriage. And Bhagwan created a Mangal Sutra, the sacred thread that is tied around the wife by the husband in every sacred Indian marriage. Swami himself materialized the Mangal Sutra. Swami created a ring and Swami wanted the girl to put the ring on the boy to tie the Mangal Sutra on the girl. And in Bhagwan's physical presence, they exchange the ring and the Mangal Sutra, and Bhagwan himself was chanting the mantras as the marriage happened. And that is the reason why Swami had said, this is the real marriage. That was only for the world. This is the real marriage. And together, the couple, they garlanded Bhagwan. And in those days, Bhagwan used to give this opportunity to devotees to garland him. So together, husband and wife, bride and bridegroom garlanded Bhagwan, and Swami accepted that. And after that, they wanted to do aarti. Swami said, no, no, I received the aarti. I received. When you did the Satyanarayana Vratam, that aarti I only received, Swami said. Just to let them know that he was there all the time with them when the marriage function was going on. And Bhagwan gave them Padmaskaram. And the only responsibility that Kantamma Garu had as a single mother, Bhagwan fulfilled that in the most beautiful manner to her heart satisfaction. You cannot ask for more. That is how Bhagwan filled her cup of joy. And the boy went back to pursue his PhD in agriculture. Later on, he became a scientist and he worked for 10 years in an organization teaching and doing research. Meanwhile, in 1983, Suryakantamma garu's mother, a very senior person, she very smoothly merged at Bhagwan's lotus feet, and after that happened, Kantamma garu had no physical responsibilities. The son was married. It had been 10 years, and the son was blessed with a son and daughter, so he was comfortable. Her only responsibility until the time mother was there was to look after her. And now mother had also had moved on. And now she would spend more time in Prashantalam. Even otherwise, she would be there in Prashantalam for every festival. Ugadi, Shivratri, Guru Purnima, Dasara, birthday. She would be there for every festival. And Swami would never ask her to permanently stay until the time her mother was there. 1984, she performed the 1 year ceremony after the passing away of her mother. That year, Bhagwan had gone to Chennai in the month of January, and Bhagwan returned in the month of February, and that year Kantamma garu continued to stay in Prashantalam. Generally, after the festival is over, she would go back with Swami's permission. Swami had gone to Chennai, and Kantamma garu stayed in Prashantalam. She stayed for the festival, Shivratri, Ugadi. Actually, her son was calling, "Mother, Amma, you please come to the village," because her son was now looking after the fields and all the property there. And she was asking for Kantamma garu to come back to the village, but Kantamma garu wanted to be in Prashantalam, and she just continued to be there. And she told the son, "Okay, I will come after Ugadi." And there were few days left for Ugadi festival, and Bhagwan called Kantamma garu for an interview. This was after 10 years. After 10 years, 1974, Bhagwan had called when Bhagwan had performed the marriage of her son. After that, Swami would speak to her, but never called her for a personal interview. And 1984 summer, Bhagwan calls her for an interview, and then Bhagwan inquires about everything happening in her family. And Swami says, "Where are the grandchildren?" And Swami says, "No, you have the grandchildren study in my institution." And that is how P. Sai Gunaranjan, Kantamma garu's grandson, joined Bhagwan's Uti school in 5th class. Later on, we know that this school in Uti was shifted to Prashantinilayam. And that's how Sai Gunaranjan became a student of Prashantinilayam. And he went on to do his graduation, post-graduation, and double post-graduation in Bhagwan's institution. Gunaranjan's sister joined the Anandpur campus and Swami school and Anandpur campus. So that is how Bhagwan said, "No, your children, grandchildren, I will look after." And then Swami said, "What is your son doing?" And Swami said, "You ask the son to look after all the properties and take care of the responsibility in the village, look after the agriculture." He had quit a job when Swami said, "Don't worry, I will see, I will see." And Bhagwan, everything that he says has so much meaning. Swami has said, "I will see, I will see." And just 2 months after that, the son got another job. And Bhagwan told Kantamma garu, "Now you stay in Prashantinilayam." Even though she has been serving right from the 60s, 64 onwards, and formally taking care of canteen from 1974 onwards, in 1984, once all her responsibilities were over, Bhagwan said, "Now you stay in Prashantinilayam. Because this birth has to become your last birth." ensure that this is your last birth. Stay in Prashanthi Nilayam. And that is how Kantamma Garu settled down in Prashanthi Nilayam in 1984. The festival of Ugadi, the new year of 1984, was a new golden episode in Kantamma Garu's life. She always wanted to serve Bhagwan and stay close to him. And that opportunity came 1984. And this opportunity was so precious, was so priceless for Kantamma Garu. She just gave herself completely to Bhagwan's work, and she never moved from Prashanthi Nilayam from that year. It has been 40 years. And Kantamma Garu never stepped out of Prashanthi Nilayam. Close to 4 decades, even though her son used to call her, "Amma, you please come back to the village, come, because you can look after this cultivation." In fact, in 1984 itself, Bhagwan told Kantamma Garu what she should write to the son, how the son should take care of those responsibilities. And so from 1984 till 2012, Kantamma Garu never moved out of Prashanthi Nilayam. The canteen was her sadhana sthal. She did her seva sadhana in the canteen. She went to Mandir for darshan. And she just stayed in the little room that Swami gave her to eat and sleep. Otherwise, all her time was spent in the canteen. In fact, there are so many such souls in Prashanthi Nilayam who for 30 years, 40 years have never stepped out of this hamlet. I have shared with you the story of Pedareddy, who looked after Sai Kita right from 80s. He too, even now, he has not gone out of Prashanthi Nilayam, and he does not want to go out of Prashanthi Nilayam. And he's so contented, so full. There is no feeling that I missed anything. There is immense satisfaction that I have utilized my life in his work. In fact, the only time Kantamma Garu went out of Prashanthi Nilayam was when Bhagwan himself took her, and that happened in 2003, when Bhagwan took her to Kodaikanal. In fact, during the 2002 birthday celebrations, Bhagwan wanted a huge number of laddus to be done. And Swami, like always, would be very involved with every aspect of the celebration. And Swami wanted to see the size of the laddus that would be distributed to the devotees. And so Kantamma Garu made different sizes. And then Swami chose a particular size. And Swami said, ensure that all the laddus are of this size. And so Kantamma Garu worked day and night, ensuring that every laddu, and these are all manually prepared, every laddu is of the same size. And it was hectic work for her, making those thousands of laddus during the birthday celebration of Bhagwan in 2002. And when the summer of the next year dawned, Swami wanted Kantamma Garu with him in Kodaikanal. Swami told her, "You come to Vrindavan. This will be very hot here in Prashanthi Nilayam. It would get very difficult to stay in Prashantalim during those summer months. And Swami would say, what would you do? Do you want to go home? And Kantama Garu said, no Swami, I don't want to go home. Anyway, everywhere it is hot. Swami said, no, you come to Vrindavan. So before Bhagwan left to Vrindavan, Swami told Kantama Garu, you come to Vrindavan. And Swami said, you prepare someone else who will do this canteen job. And there were some people who had worked with Kantama Garu for years together, so they knew how to manage the canteen. And Swami asked Kantama Garu to come to Vrindavan. And Swami had told her that you ensure that you have clothes for 2 weeks. And that is how Kantama Garu was on the flight with Swami to Kodaikanal in the summer of 2003. In fact, when they were in air, it would happen that once the plane stabilizes, once the takeoff is over, Bhagwan would often walk in the plane along the aisle and Swami would talk to people, Swami would distribute something. And in fact, on that occasion, when Bhagwan came near Kantama Garu, Swami said, is this not your first time on flight? That was how Bhagwan wanted to fill her heart with joy. You have done everything for me. You have given your life to me. And see how I take your life to beautiful heights of joy. So for Kantama Garu, it was such a memorable experience to be with Bhagwan in the skies. And who would not want their maiden flight to be with Swami? Who would not want when they are in the skies, let it be with Bhagwan, with my beloved. What better moment can one aspire for? So that is how the 15 days that they were in Kodaikanal, Bhagwan blessed Kantama Garu. And as it happens in Kodaikanal, Swami would continuously give gifts and saris, and one day Swami gave money. Swami said, go for shopping, and Kantama Garu said, Swami, you are already giving so much. Why are you giving money also? And Swami said, no, you buy whatever you like. Just like a parent, Swami would go to any extent. And anybody who has been with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal would know that there are no words to describe how Bhagwan would day in and day out give himself completely to the members of the group. You are literally in the house of God and you see him as soon as you wake up till the time you go to sleep. And you are there every moment, and every moment what you see is how only Swami is giving himself. And that joy Kantama Garu experienced along with the boys. In the dining session, Swami would sometimes sit with the ladies, sometimes he would be with the boys, sometimes he would be with the guest, and Swami would give individual photographs. There is a hilltop bungalow in Kodaikanal, and Swami took all the devotees there, and there Bhagwan gave individual photographs to all the devotees. And when Kantama Garu went near Bhagwan, and as always she would fold her hands, I said, no, keep your hands down, just stand straight and don't be in the namaskar position. Let's have a nice photograph. It's almost like Swami is telling, it's okay, I am your Lord, but I am your beloved also, I am your friend. Keep your hands down. So she just held on to Swami's hands, squeezed Swami's hands and took that picture with Bhagwan. So after those blissful days with Bhagwan, in 2003, when they came back to Vrindavan, she wanted Swami's permission to go back, and Swami did not say anything to her. And you would not want to leave without Bhagwan's permission, because he called you and he took you to Kodaikanal, and you have to get his concurrence before you come back to Puttaparthi. She wanted to come back to Puttaparthi because there was so much work in the canteen, but Swami never gave her permission to return to Prashantalayam, and so her vacation sort of continued, and she continued to stay in Vrindavan in the month of May, June, July. Until July she stayed in Vrindavan. Perhaps Swami wanted to give her a break, a good 4 months rest, because she has been working tirelessly. In fact, those were the months also when her health also was not as good. After doing the strenuous work during the birthday celebrations, you know, it did take a toll on her body, and she was already becoming very old now. She was at that time perhaps already in her early 70s, and Swami perhaps wanted that her body should get that rest, and so Swami did not give her permission to come back. After 4 months, one fine day, Swami says, "We are going to Puttaparthi. We are going to Puttaparthi." And the next day, they left for Prashantinilayam. And this bliss of being with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal for Kantamma Garu repeated itself. Yes, Swami called her again in 2005. After the Yajur Mandir was inaugurated, Swami again went to Kodaikanal. And this was also a short trip of just 2 weeks. And Swami had told her, "You ensure that someone looks after the running of the canteen when you are not there." And now that she had visited once, she knew how to prepare herself. And during that trip, when Bhagwan was calling each person near him for the individual photographs, Swami would introduce Kantamma Garu to everyone around, and Swami would say, from 50 years, I know her, Swami would say. And when she knelt down, Swami blessed her, Swami touched her head, and Swami blessed her profusely. And that year, after those beautiful moments with Bhagwan, and for her, these were the moments that she cherishes. If you visit her house, you will see that picture with Bhagwan in Kodaikanal in 2003. That unforgettable picture with Bhagwan in Sai Shruti, Bhagwan's abode in Kodaikanal in 2005. These are her moments. These are the memories that even now is filling her with inspiration. Even now when she looks at those pictures, tears stream down her cheeks. It is these moments that continue to fill her with energy. It is these moments that Bhagwan kept so beautifully in her heart, which have become her life's treasures. Now when Bhagwan is not there in the physical form, it is these moments that she continuously contemplates upon. And this is what gives her all the momentum. And even though she is alone, she is 85, but she does not need anyone's help. She is someone who has no complaints, only devotion, only service, only love for Bhagwan. 1984 till 2020, the sadhana of seva of Kantamma Garu continues in Prashantinilayam. Even now, when volunteers come to serve in the canteen, she is there to inspire them I meet so many volunteers who go to her and they touch her feet and say, Amma, it is because of your training that we are now able to serve Bhagwan. It is one thing to say, it is another thing to lead that kind of a life. And as I told you before, for Kantamakaru, the only text that she read and continues to read is the lives of great saints. In fact, I have told you before how she got this beautiful comprehensive volume of the lives of many saints reprinted. And this is the book that she would want every devotee to read, because this is the book that gave her strength, solace, and that zeal to lead a life of absolute sacrifice. In fact, her grandson, Sai Gunaranjan, who studied in Bhagwan's institution, he did his master's in physics as well as his master's in business administration after he graduated. He too dedicated his life to social service. He served for 7 years in a microfinance company just to understand the problems that the villagers of India face. He worked in the villages for 7 long years and after that started his own non-governmental organization. And even now continues to work. He leads the life of a saint. Has no positions. Doesn't take salary. But just works with the rural. Working in different areas. In the education sector. Revamping hospitals. Improving the literacy rate of children. Ensuring that there is telemedicine facilities in all the rural parts of the country. There are any number of initiatives that Gunaranjan has undertaken through his company. And that seva continues, and you look at him and you would never even have any idea of the simple life that he leads. On the face of it, he works like a pure professional, but in the heart beats only so that Bhagwan, looking at me, will be happy. So this is how the cascade of selflessness and sacrifice flows. Once Bhagwan touches you, Kantamagaru also had the opportunity before she settled down in Prashant in Elim to experience the joy of traveling with Swami. The Kodaikanal trip happened in 2003, but much before that, 40 years before that, she had that time, opportunity to travel with Bhagwan once. And that was to Srishailam in Andhra Pradesh, to the shrine of Mallikarjuna. That happened in the December of 1963. Bhagwan was in Srishailam, where he revealed the secret of the Jyotirlingam. Between December 4th, 1963 and December 9th, 1963. In fact, Srishailam is the place where Bhagwan told the devotees Shankaracharya had installed a chakra. Swami said, this chakra is now there in a small cave by the side of Patala Ganga, the river that flows. Srishailam is in the Kurnool district of Andhra Pradesh. And Bhagwan paid a sacred visit to this shrine in 1963. And Kantamagaru was also part of Bhagwan's entourage during this visit of Bhagwan. And she narrates her beautiful moments of being with Swami during this trip and the amazing things that she witnessed, the thrilling moments that she experienced. We'll come to that in the coming episode of this series, Beacons of Prashanthi Nilayam, the elevating life of Kantamma Garu. There are amazing stories of what happened when Bhagwan was in Srisailam in 1963, how Kantamma Garu became a part of that trip, and what is the most cherished memory that she has of this beautiful episode from Bhagwan's life. We'll continue this, dear brothers and sisters, in the coming episodes. It's always a joy sharing the stories of people who have led such lives of exemplary service and how Bhagwan filled their lives with joy. Swami always used to say, God first, others next, yourself last. When you make God priority one in your life and the only priority in your life, the way your life unfolds becomes a story that has to be written in gold. Every devotee's story who has led a life of sacrifice and selflessness is a golden story. In fact, these are the golden chapters which should inspire us to make our lives golden. And we'll continue this in the coming episodes of Outside Inside, Deep Inside. Thank you so much, dear listeners. If you have any queries, as always, you can write to listener@radioside.org. You can also send us your comments on our WhatsApp number, 9393-258-258. Thank you so much. I offer this endeavor at His lotus feet with all humility, all love, and all gratitude. Thank you. Sairam.